Итак, первый вопрос, который сегодня стоит перед нами,
the first issue
это,
on the list today,
видите ли, проблема Бога.
Не знаю, как это можно назвать, чтобы это была проблема. I don't know how to call it, so that it were a problem. But the question, who is God, whether he exists, how Orthodoxy understands it, this is really a question which is of interest to a wide number of people, not only here in Russia, and as far as I know, is of interest to both the Western society and the Eastern one. So we are interested in how Orthodoxy understands God. Who is it? What is that X we hear about so often, both in our conversations and in the media, in publications, wherever? Do you know, I recall the words by Maximilian Voloshin, who's got such lines. When I speak about God, my words are like a lion who is blind, who is looking for a water well in a desert. I really liked these words. Really, what can a blind lion find? If we go to Christian sources here, we find the following paradoxical criteria and evaluations and descriptions of what is God. On the one hand, we see very firm words which say that we cannot say anything about God. Whatever we say would be nothing. When we speak about God, we use earthly notions. And where are these earthly notions taken from? And but these notions are taken from our earthly life, mundane life, and God is not an earthly notion. And any words we describe God with are not perfect. They do not correspond to Him. He is different. By the way, there is a very interesting saying by an ancient Greek philosopher, Plato. Simple words have no description, have no definition. What's the phrase? The phrase is very interesting. So try to tell a blind man what is a red color. Define it. It's futile. What's the taste of kiwi? Those who did not taste kiwi cannot describe the taste of kiwi. It transpires that when we talk about God, about a creature, so to say, creature who thinks, who feels, to put some limits, to try to express it in the categories of our contemporary life, might be absolutely impossible. So there is an apophatic understanding of God. Apophatic means that negative. We cannot say anything about Him. So why does He then come if we can't tell anything about Him? So what we believe in then? So here we people must say about Him in the notions, in the categories which are most closest to us, so and the most perfect which we can imagine in our people language. So God is wisdom, God is a creator, God is love, etc. So this is a cataphatic approach to God. So this is a very far approach. So if we speak about God, it has several peculiarities which defines Him, singles Him out from all the church religious systems in the world. So what do we understand by a creator? He's almighty. He can do anything he wants to. So if we describe as a creature itself, it's justice itself. That's what Christianity did. So we cannot imagine this. That Christianity says that God is just. No. What's the justice? When a bandit came into paradise, he was the first to enter the paradise. So what's the justice that he's got his hands stained with blood? When a righteous man who did not commit any crimes, and he suffered for whom? For a sin man? For wrong people? Where is justice here? What are you speaking about? Yes. This here we encounter the phenomenon which brings about amazingness. Where is justice here? If he justifies this bandit, this woman in promiscuous life, this guy who stands in the church repeating, God have mercy on me, etc. The whole history of Christianity says that if God were just, and many holy fathers notice this, we could not exist for a moment, because if a single man looks into his own soul, he would amazingly understand that his thoughts are different. What he thinks, how he treats other people, how he treats close people, what he does. So it would be impossible for us then to exist. What's a different understanding about God we see in Christianity? Do you remember with ancient Greeks how the God of justice was depicted? Themis was with blind eyes. She could give presents to one man and send to gallows, and send another man to gallows. And Jesus Christ says, he will be with me in paradise. For what? What did he do that he should be sent to paradise? Where is justice? Really, what did he do? By the way, it's the most important issue of the Christian life. So he could not do anything good. It's clear. So he's doomed. What did he really do? Why did Jesus Christ pronounce such words to him? He said, remember me, my Lord, in your kingdom. Do you know what it speaks about? I will never be with you there. Never, never. I will be only there. We deserve by our deeds. Remember you. You remember me in your kingdom. So this is the reason why God saves people. The first thing is that the understanding of our sinness. And the second is the wondrous man's humility. So he understood what he is. Tell us, please, these Christian thoughts, how do they come to a man? Do they come with a divine aspiration? So a criminal, that's what you told us about. The criminal on a cross, he must have understood that God is justice. So did criminal have this understanding? So he came to this repentance. In contemporary society, we have the same attitude towards this thing, and Christianity offers the first thing it told us about. Though he did not have any thought of that kind. There was no justice talking about, though he understood what he was, and he understood that he was destined to go only to hell, and he did understand it. So he repented of his deeds. Pay attention how in our contemporary life we excuse ourselves. Why did we deserve it? So a neighbor had his house on fire. That's okay. And with me, it's not okay. How deep is the pagan understanding rooted into our society? Do you know what Christianity says? God cannot abate. Not a bit can touch a human freedom, freedom of choice, freedom of inner choice between good and bad, cannot touch. A man is godlike, and God cannot touch. God himself cannot touch. This is the beginning of this option, of this quality of a man. God is almighty. Yes, he's a creator. On the other hand, as soon as we speak about a man, there's a limit. Do you know what Holy Fathers say? God cannot save a man without a will of a man himself. That is the freedom. That's what a criteria of salvation. Do you know that all the religions say, so you do this and that, and this is the way for you to paradise. If you don't do that, this is the road for you to hell. No, there are other criteria we encounter in Christianity. God, from the Orthodox point of view, is not justice, is love. So what is it? It's a very important category. I want to say it's a very important evaluation of God. So what is love? If we touch upon this issue from a philosophical point of view, we would say in this way: God is the most primary law of our world's being. And what is the law? It's not the law of justice as everyone thinks and thought. This is the law of love. It is something, I repeat, unprecedented in the history of religion and philosophical consciousness. This is the specificity of the Christian understanding of it. If God is love, why do we have such sentiments in the society, and how for a common people give the answer to this issue, or we don't even have to try? So we always have to try. This is the issue which is of interest and worries everyone who thinks. The point is that we have an understanding of this kind. So every time touching everyone's steps, God acts in this or that way. No, it turns out that the situation is not that easy. Holy Fathers say, and in particular, we have the words by Holy Mark. He says that only ignorant people, that God does not act himself in our life, that he is a creator of spiritual laws by which this or that thing happens in our life. Spiritual laws. What's the example of this? So now, what we have now? So what have we resorted to? Ecological issues. So why do we have ecological problems? Why? Because we contaminate our society. Does God have revenge on us? No. Why does a man jump from the 10th floor? So does God destroy him? No. A man breaks the law. So listen to me. So really, spiritual laws do exist. What does God do? He only admonishes a man against breaking this law. He wants that these laws exist. He pleads a man, do not do this. You will insult yourself. You will damage yourself. So these laws are not decrees. So, which you break, and God breaks you. No. He gave spiritual laws for a man to live, as well as biological, material laws. As soon as we touch spiritual laws, we ask, do they really exist? Yes, they do exist. The breaking of which may cause damage to a man. He may kill himself. He detriments himself. So these commandments are only a warning for a man. I plead you, do not step on nails. So what? That's what happens in reality. Why do we have all the problems? Because we break spiritual laws. That's the cause of human disasters, as well as natural disasters, because the world is unique. Created by God. There is a unity between spiritual and material laws, the breaking of which may cause damage. And as for infringement of spiritual laws, can we understand it as when we speak about God's justice and about God's fury? Can we perceive it as God's anger? Everything negative happening in man's life can be caused by God's fury. Do you know Professor Osipov? He wrote a book and he quotes a wide range of quotations about God's fury. Perfect, really great utterances. Antonio the Great says, when we live in accordance with God's commandments, we get united with Him. When we contradict these laws, we do not only fall apart from God, so we get deprived of the boon made by God, so we even insult ourselves. This is the new moment. So we not only damage ourselves, and Antonio the Great writes that we get united with demons, the torturers, who triggers our passions. So a man shows off. And we might think that he showed off and that's it. So and he starts intentionally show off. These demons open up the doors to devil. So these actions make his passions very very big, and he might leave the man to very bad actions, and get united to demons, the torturers. Cassian the Roman says, God is unchangeable. We cannot imagine God like us, people who can burst into love or into fury. God cannot have revenge, nor have fury, etc. These are our terms about which Holy Fathers write about the terms, adjust to our wretchedness. Can you hear that? The notions try to distract us from sin, so that we could primitively understand how to not damage ourselves. So, if we imagine that different kinds of illnesses and diseases happen because of God's permit, so can we consider them as a boon for a man, as something which can deprive a man of sin? If this would be not true, there would be no human history of human being. If we remember the nature of the first sin, there was the thought, the feeling which occurred in the head of the first people. You will be like gods. If I am a god, I do not need any other god. So imagine, as soon as a man adopted the thought, he fell apart from God. He fell apart from God. So it turns out that the whole history of human being and the whole life of every man means for him to see, to see that you are, that you fell apart from God, that you are God. So we live the whole history. And what is the history? The history is filled with blood, tortures, injustice. That's the life without God, through tortures and illnesses. We see who we are without God. You know that. If we are placed into paradise in our present state, we would organize revolution there as the first people. Only after understanding who we are without God, we can reach unfallible state. So then we would never say like, I don't need you, God. We are gods. Homo homini deus est. A man is God to a man. How proud it is. If we let in the thought in our mind, so a man perceives through this earthly life who he is without God. So we must get back to Prophet David's words. As I am a worm, not a man. Another question, Alexei Ilyich. God is an absolute, and nothing can add to this absolute love or take anything away from it. So why does a man need God? Why does a man need manly tortures, manly endeavors to get closer to God? Holy Father set an example which can be clear to us. That's why God created a man. He wanted someone to share this boon as he did. That's why he created godlike creatures called people. A man is godlike, and no one called in Holy Scripture. Even angels are not godlike. They are lower by their nature than people. Only a man is called godlike. Well, we understand that angel is higher than we are. No, we get scared. That's because we are now in a very low state. So a man in a holy state by his nature is higher than an angel. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. But we are still worms, not people.